We'll call the Senate Finance Committee to order. Today is the 22nd of February, 2017, and we're having an overview, the last overview of the four major budget drivers in the state operating budget. That would be the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. We are facing a north of a $3 billion deficit. Although there are revenue measures that are being discussed, we're still trying to streamline the state's operating budget, and we've been looking at the four major fund drivers and see if we can have them sustain a nickel on a dollar tightening of their belt, given the fact that the governor had stated last year we were in a concerned about our budget, and now we are in a crisis mode. But most of the departments are having a status quo budget, and the Senate is taking a second look at that. So with that, we have Co-Chairman Senator McKinnon, Senator Bishop, Senator Machicki, Senator Von Imhoff, Senator Olson, and Senator Dunleavy. With that, Commissioner, can you approach the table and introduce yourself for the record and begin your presentation?
Thank you, Chair Hoffman, and good morning. Mark Lucan, Department of Transportation and Public Facilities Commissioner, for the record. So Alaska's Department of Transportation and Public Facilities mission is to keep Alaska moving through service and infrastructure. Per Alaska Statute 4442, the department is responsible for planning, research, design, construction, operation, maintenance, and protection of all state transportation systems and many public facilities. This is achieved through our core services and our strategic approach, also known as results-based alignment. Preserve extends the life of the existing infrastructure, and examples of that would be surface preservation, bridge preservation. Operate allows movement on the existing infrastructure. Those examples there are snow and ice removal or illumination. And modernize updates our infrastructure to meet modern standards and capacity. So we plan, design, and construct. And then finally, provide encompasses the services the department provides to move people and goods. Those encompass our ferry system and our international airport system. I'd like to make a note that our department focus has shifted from a modal or regional orientation to a service orientation, and hopefully this briefing will make that clear. Before we get started, though, I'd like to begin by introducing two Alaskans who keep Alaska moving. Josh McGrath is a vessel captain for the Alaska Marine Highway System. He received the department's leadership award in 2014 and regularly volunteers his time on serving on Mercy Ships, the world's largest civilian hospital ship. Vanessa Musich is a project engineer who lives in Nome. She manages a variety of road and airport construction projects and exemplifies the department's core values through her open and respectful communication style. Just to add the emphasis that DOT is not a big bureaucratic organization, it's people. But to talk a little bit about our organization, this slide gives you an idea of the extent of the assets our department is responsible for. And just to highlight a few, 242 state-owned and operated airports, the largest airport sponsor in the United States, 822 DOT and PF owned and operated bridges. We also are responsible for 731 public facilities occupied by 17 different agencies. The department has three regions and two systems that encompass a wide variety of transportation modes, as we've already mentioned, airports, roads, and our ferry system. Statewide functions include services such as administrative services, program development, planning, measurements and standards, and commercial vehicle enforcement. We are a team who embraces these guiding principles: public service, core values, mission focus, solutions-oriented teamwork, and transparent and proactive communications. The One DOT and PF is a strategic framework from which we ensure standardized policies, procedures, and delivery of our services. We also use it to share best practices so that we are providing the most efficient system we possibly can. It also supports our second strategic initiative, results-based alignment. Results-based alignment is the service delivery framework from which we measure the contribution of our services we deliver in support of our mission. These four core services link the work of the department to its statutory and regulatory requirements. Results-based alignment was started about 18 months ago. It was introduced to the legislature last session. Since its inception, the department has involved over 200 employees in refining our core services, developing the direct services that support those core services, and finally defining the measures that also support those services. The direct services that support each core service are depicted here. We relied on our employees in the department to help us define the direct services and then develop performance measures related to each direct service. I won't touch on each of these today in the interest of time, but I would like to speak briefly about provide transportation services, which includes operating our ferries and our ferry terminals. We also use this core service to retain and expand our business directly related to the Alaska International Airport System. Not only does results-based alignment incorporate mission, core services, and meaningful performance measures, the 2017 operating budget has been aligned to these core and direct services. In this slide, we show the 2017 operating budget broken out by core service. This is the total operating budget and includes all fund sources. You'll note down in the lower left, 6.7 of our operating budget has been assigned to other services. This primarily represents the services transportation and public facilities provides supporting other state agencies. Before we go on, I'd like to drill deeper into the core service operate, Alaska's transportation infrastructure core service, as an example. So this is an example of how we plan to depict our operating budget going forward. This slide shows the operate core service portion of our 2017 operating budget. So it's the budget we're currently operating under right now. The pie chart depicts the components that perform the duties in support of this core service. The size of the component slice of the pie is proportionate to its amount of the core service budget. For example, Northern Region requires a larger operate budget than South Coast Region due to greater number of lane miles for which it's responsible and the cost of sustaining maintenance stations that are off the grid.
Mr. Fisher, the last slide include all funds?
Mr. Chair, I believe this, let me
the
go
last
back.
Slide.
This slide here or the, this slide?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Chair, this is all funds. So unrestricted, designated, other, and federal are all included in this slide.
And can you provide the committee with one that has in slides 9 and 10 with just general funds so we can get an idea where the general fund dollars are being spent with these core services?
Mr. Chair, if you'll bear with us, we will get to a slide that has those broken out. Yes, sir. But again, this is just an example for you. And so we have the operate budget. This is drilling deeper, and you have in front of you all of the core services that are broken out in this fishbone or tree diagram to show all the direct services that support each of those core services, but we're going to focus on operate. To the right is the listing, again, of the direct services under operate. To the left, we've expanded one of those. That's the highlighted in red, direct services, snow and ice removal. We thought that might be something that's important for people to focus on this time of year. But here you can see snow and ice removal. We spend roughly $74 million a year to do that across the state. The bar chart below that shows you the breakout of the fund sources that pay for that particular direct service, UGF, direct general or designated general fund, other, and federal. The pie chart also shows which components perform snow and ice removal functions as well as their proportionate slice of the pie. Finally, the number of positions dedicated to this direct service, 385, is at the bottom. And I just want to also note that that's full-time equivalents, not necessarily bodies to that total number of positions. It's the full-time equivalent number. Finally, to the far left is an effectiveness and efficiency measure tied to snow and ice removal. Now, I would note that, as you'll see, each direct service has at least one efficiency and one effectiveness measure. The alignment of function to core service to mission to budget allows the department to report more accurately what it is accomplishing and to be held accountable for how well we are meeting the mission to keep Alaska moving through service and infrastructure.
And this is a very important slide. Can we provide the committee with a detailed breakdown of each one of these pie charts, because they're very busy and it's virtually impossible for us to determine the information that's being provided here. So if we can get slides on each one of these pie charts, that would be greatly appreciated.
So you want, Mr. Chair, just to clarify, you want something other than the
each pie chart, there's 2, 4, 6, 7 pie charts here.
Right.
So we can get in a sheet individually on each pie chart with what information is being provided, because we can't determine that from looking at this particular slide.
Okay, Mr. Chair. We'll be happy to provide you a breakout.
Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On this particular piece, the snow and ice removal, I know that my staff has submitted a question to you about road service areas and how road service areas manage inside of individual municipalities. And we've entered into, as a state, several agreements where we transfer that responsibility into local communities. And I have some feedback on roads in my community that suggests that we actually do it at a lower cost than the state does. And so I'm wondering, throughout the state, if the state is continuing to plow and remove ice inside of municipalities where there's municipal or other private sector folks that are able to do that for a lower price than the state is doing it.
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, we're also working on trying to get that analysis for you and then be able to provide you that comparison of cost per road mile, because that's certainly one of the measures that we're looking at right now. So we are trying to get that get that information and do that analysis so you can do that side-by-side comparison. I think we've actually focused on Eagle River as an example, and we can get that for you.
Thank you.
And will that information be provided to the committee so that that decision can be made this legislative session?
Mr. Chairman, we can certainly provide that. I think the struggle that our department has is actually getting the communities to take over those road service areas and those local roads.
I don't know if that's true for all those communities. The larger ones, I think, in talking to at least one of the larger communities, when the snow falls, they get inundated with calls saying that these roads need to be cleared, and they say, even though they may be, say, in downtown Fairbanks, the response is that this is a state road. So the people that are closest to the problem, it would seem they should have the responsibility, and they would be more responsive in getting those roads plowed, because they're living in those communities, even though the employees, state employees that plow those roads probably also live in in those communities, but the elected officials probably would be really more responsible to getting that done.
Sorry for interrupting. I'm certain that some legislative intent would be helpful.
Thank you. Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can only speak to Eagle River. Eagle River has actively pursued a relationship with the state of Alaska to take over road maintenance operations. We do it efficiently, and we do it on a cash basis in our community. We try to be proactive for capital projects and others. So I know that that we've had conversations, and we will. We do have some preliminary numbers. I have them from both sides of the equation. And again, it appears that the state is significantly higher in that service. So we'll send you an email for comparisons. But Eagle River has been reaching out to try to maintain our roads. And for those that are listening at home, what happens is the general population doesn't understand why the road isn't cleared, right? And the problem is that the state picks up its grader and doesn't go through a municipality on municipal roads, and vice versa. If the municipality is there earlier, then those roads get cleared, and the ones that are state roads, like C Street, I believe, or others, are cleared in different time periods. And so it's very confusing to the general public because they believe the road should be cleared, which we're trying to do, but it's on a little bit different time schedule. So having one organization in a community like the Eagle River Chivyak area seems to, at least from the numbers I've seen, look like it would optimize the investment for Alaska dollars. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator McKinnon. Senator Machicki.
So I think my question is going to be at a little bit higher level. When I was mayor for 5 years, we kind of went through a formal evaluation of what roads made sense for the municipality to pick up, even when they were state roads, and which didn't, for efficiency's sake. Is state DOT pursuing an evaluation of a comprehensive plan of where that makes the most sense? Because it's not always more cost effective, kind of depends on the road, depends on who's making those runs, but I think a formal evaluation community to community could really deliver some savings. That's the question I would have. Is that something that state DOT is investing in, and when can we expect to see sort of a comprehensive plan of what would be the most efficient delivery of that service?
Through the Chair, Senator Machicki, I know we do this with the municipality of Anchorage, and we have transfer responsibility agreements with them. We continue to work with them regularly to find the most efficient delivery of this particular service. And it also includes sidewalks, and we'll get to that here in a minute. But we are certainly trying to share best practices with the municipality, and I know that we do this in Fairbanks. There is a few different road power laws that are different up in the Fairbanks North Star borough, and I think that's the other complicating factor in some cases. But certainly where those municipalities would like to work with the state, we would be happy to do that. I think the thing that I would also add is I certainly agree with Senator McKinnon that local municipalities have the best ability to operate and maintain their infrastructure. And so, again, that's a constitutional perspective, and so I agree with that completely, and would encourage this committee and even the entire body to help us and those communities make that a reality.
Senator Machicki, then Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a brief follow-up, and that is, a comprehensive plan would also outline some legislation that would help as well, perhaps, where we can help deliver that service. When times weren't as tough, I think it always made sense for a kind of a business-as-usual approach, but I think maybe something even as creative as helping with some of the costs of equipment on the local level, if it brings the labor level down on certain roadways where it makes the most sense to deliver that from a municipality standpoint. But I'd certainly like to see a statewide plan, and it's not going to be the outlying areas. It's always going to be the municipality. Just a new way to sort of look at things on bringing that cost down. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. Senator Bishop, then Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just along the same lines, right, we're all looking to do things more efficiently and with a priority, and I think at this table, too, is for the safety of the traveling public. Yeah, we're looking at money, but it's about delivering a service in a timely fashion for the safety and well-being of the traveling public. So I just wanted to, on the record, keep it out there in the forefront, too. Senator Olson and Senator Hoffman and I, our districts kind of join up, and we are, have been talking and are really considered about these tribal agreements that we have talked about, Commissioner, from time to time, and I just want to put that on the record as we might want to try some pilot projects with a couple of communities going forward on the same topic as the senators here have described. So, municipal rule. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you. Through the chair, Commissioner Lucan, I have one comment and then one question. So the first comment is there a way that you can identify those laws or policies or statutes or regulations that are prohibiting you from being efficient with various municipalities around the state so we can address those and remove those barriers for you? So if you can help us identify those, that would be really helpful. In terms of a question, do you within your department prioritize various programs or activities that you do in terms of safety and access, meaning within the light of these budget cuts the last few years, are you decreasing everything across the board, or are you prioritizing certain services and holding them harmless?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, we have tried to take cuts as equally as possible. However, again, just as Senator Bishop mentioned and as you've inferred, the safety of the traveling public is our number one priority. So, we have reserved funding to ensure that, we're focused on that. And an example of that is while we've cut back on overtime in the winter, we haven't completely done away with it. And so we still retain the ability to send our forces out, outside of their normal operating hours, so that we can address the roads when we feel the weather is and the roads are in a situation that it would affect the safety of the public. And so that's an example. And ultimately, we may spend through our budget that we had set out for other activities, road preservation activities like brushing, like ditching, if that's required in the wintertime, and that means that there'll be less of those particular activities as we finish out the budget season this year.
Thank you, Senator Von Imhoff. Mr. Commissioner, please proceed.
So I did want to explain before we move on that the effectiveness measure on the previous slide referenced road priority levels. Here we provide the definition for each priority level. Winter performance targets do not include priority 5 roads. This means each weather event, be it snow, ice, or wind, typically has 4 targets, one for each priority level of road. Just below that are just examples of the screenshots that are interactive map from our DOT MPF website that anyone can access to find out the road priority level that they happen to live on. These screenshots show the south central part of the state, the Fairbanks area, and down here in the southeast in the Juneau area. These, are just examples, but anyone can access this website, find out, from where they live, what road priority they happen to live on. And as I said, sidewalks are assigned the same priority as the adjacent road, and we're working with municipalities to share best practices and find the most efficient way to clear snow from the sidewalks. One other final note is that we didn't just make this up. Our M&O leaders use national best practices to define this road priority system and then applied it to Alaska's road system. So here's an example of the kind of data that we're measuring and our performance for snow and ice removal. These targets are based on initial response after a snow, ice, or wind event. So the targets and the times are over in the upper right. And you can see not only the target times, but actually the actual average time it's taken us so far to clear those particular priority level roads. Below it shows three potential condition levels that we, again, respond, you know, our initial response will provide. And to date, we've achieved at least, I think this is through the end of January, we've achieved a target condition, our target conditions almost 97% of the time. It really shows the power of our results-based alignment, and we continue to review our performance with the goal of continuous improvement.
Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, first I just want to say that DOT has a group of people that are committed to the public safety, and I appreciate all that they do for the people of Alaska. On this example of a performance measure, speaking from as someone who lives in the municipality of Anchorage in, I like to say, a community with our own zip code. We are not the same zip code as the city of Anchorage. We travel on the Glen Highway, and I'm wondering if another performance measure is safety. Snow clearing is something that the people that are on the highway from Palmer or Mat-Su traveling into the most metropolitan city that Alaska has, Anchorage, are finding the traveling is unsafe because of the ruts on the road. And I can speak to it from myself as someone who travels back and forth. When we have the snow conditions, it is important that the snow road is cleared, but when you have ruts, I would think that the accident rates are going way up. So I was home this weekend on state business, traveled on the road and saw multiple cars up on their sides because of berms. The snow, I assume, was cleared to the side, and somehow the vehicles got caught and actually wound up on their side. So the most rollover accidents I think I've ever witnessed in a short period of time, and it continued from day to day. So I don't know if sanding happened. So this road clearing, Mr. Chairman, are there other criterias for performance other than on these roads than winter performance on snow clearing? That's the question. And then how do you react to the safety issues?
Mr. Commissioner.
Through the Chair, Senator McKinnon, we do have other performance targets, and I'm not sure that we have one specifically for rutting, but again, what I would tell you is that because of the high volume of traffic on the Glen Highway, we clear that road to the surface condition A that's depicted in this slide. So we clear it to, you know, the best possible condition we can get it at. Rutting is a fact that we deal with, and it is going to be dealt with this summer on the Glen Highway. We actually have a project to resurface that highway from Airport Heights Road to Highland Road, and so that should address the rutting issue for the next few years.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. Senator McKinnon.
Commissioner, do you have a criteria or a performance measure based on safety of the road? So I appreciate that we're going to fix the ruts, and we have quite a bit of accidents that I think are happening, which will in turn drive up insurance rates for the people who are driving. So if we don't have a performance measure on rutting, do we have one for sanding or anything else to improve the safety of the roadway that are in these high priority areas?
I think the performance measure that we have was actually created several years ago when we identified our safety corridors. And so one of those is the Glen Highway and the Seward Highway. The Kinnick-Goose Bay Road are some examples. The Sterling Highway near Soldotna is another example of those safety corridors. And so certainly because of that, those particular roads receive quite a bit more attention when it comes to how we clear it, the timing that we clear it, the use of other commodities, whether it's sand or chemicals, to try and keep the road as safe as possible. But that's really the performance measure that we have for the Glen Highway.
Senator McKinley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To be as specific as possible, are we laying sand on that road with all the ruts that are in them right now? Because there is traffic on its side every day, at least this weekend, mm-hmm. every day. So are we doing sanding like we, in a same manner? Have we reduced sanding? Is there a chemical that's going down that I can't see? I'm just looking at one corridor. I know that you're responsible for an entire state. It's not meant to be derogatory at all. It's just this corridor this weekend has a high accident rate on it. I mean, maybe 10 vehicles, four of them on their sides in rollover positions.
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, we address each road based on the forecast, the temperatures, and the expected precipitation. And so I believe, and I will confirm this, but I believe that the Glen Highway was, in fact, sanded before that snow event this weekend.
Does the roads that are rutted receive a different requirement regarding sanding for safety purposes, or are they treated the same way as all other roads?
Mr. Chairman, our roads are, again, treated based on their road priority. You know, so along with the timing that we address those roads, you know, the use of chemicals or the use of sand, it's going to be dependent upon, again, precipitation, temperature, and the condition it's in at the time.
But is there a priority for sanding roads that are rutted because the rutted roads cause more rollovers than roads that are not rutted?
Through the chair, or Mr. Chairman, I'll have to find out for you. But I think, again, we address our roads based on the priority system that I showed you two slides back.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. Senator Machicki.
So I have a different perspective, just because, I mean, probably this winter with we never really stopped meeting with the legislature this year. We probably drove up 20 or more times from Soldotna to Anchorage under various conditions, and although some have the perspective that drive that, I'm talking about that particular route, that things have not been maintained, I've kind of looked at it in detail all winter. I mean, we had this budget the last couple of years, you had some pretty substantial cuts, and I was actually surprised at the condition, quality of the road, safety-wise, with a safety perspective this winter. That's just one corridor. I think what's missing is, can you just tell us the process to go from heavy snowfall to surface condition A on one of the key corridors, so I think we can understand that, because I think it involves clearing and then surface treatment and then monitoring. I mean, just talking with our local guys that take care of that safety corridor near Soldotna and all the way to Anchorage, can you just kind of walk us through that?
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, again, you know, for those priority level one roads, the expectation is that we will clear that, you know, after an event to this surface condition A. And so that's the effort that we put into those roads. And so, you know, because of the speeds, the volume of traffic, maybe sometimes the geometry of those roads, and as you said, if it's designated as a safety corridor, that's going to get that level of priority and that surface condition. And then as you kind of alluded to, our folks are constantly checking forecasts, they're checking weather, current weather conditions, and then making decisions about application of chemicals or sand or you know, some other kind of pre-treatment to ensure that those surfaces stay as best they can in that road condition A. But again, you know, if we have a fairly significant snowfall, there is going to be a time when they aren't in that surface condition A
because we're not able to instantaneously address all those roads simultaneously.
Senator Machicki.
So here's just one more question for you, and I don't, it'll be my last one, I promise, but the entire 158 miles was in very good condition most of the winter, even after some fairly significant events before we came down in January, except for the portage, and I'm specifically asking about that area because it's a different weather system, blows in from kind of more of the Gulf than the rest of the system, but so you kept the larger pieces of ice from the entire highway system, DOT folks did, other than that 10 or 12 mile stretch, which was significantly more, I don't want to use the word treacherous, because you have to slow down and drive for the conditions. But can pretreatment eliminate, is there a special focus in those areas that traditionally have a different weather exposure than the remainder of the system because you know that those conditions are more likely to occur in that stretch, or is everything treated the same and you just sort of folks have to deal with that kind of, you know what I mean, the ice buildup and that sort of thing that really wasn't on the rest of that 158 miles?
Mr. Commissioner.
Through the Chair, Senator Machicki, again, I think we base it on the priorities, you know, the road priorities. And so whatever level of priority, that's when we're going to get to that particular section of road. And certainly, you know, this priority system may not necessarily be perfect, but I think that's partially what this measurement, this results-based alignment will do for us, is help us identify those areas where maybe there's some additional work needs to be done potentially, or you know, find a different way to deploy our forces. And again, that's what this, what measurement does for us, is it allows us to continually look at the way we are delivering services, maybe factor in some of these other differences that are occurring because of the change in weather patterns.
Thank you. Senator Machicki.
I promise last one this time, Mr. Chairman. It sounds like there might be missing a local condition, and I think that's what you're hearing from Senator McKinnon and perhaps myself. I think we support your priority system, but it sounds like a kind of a fourth step of a local condition treatment or understanding might be missing from the process, and we hear from our constituents on that sort of thing. So I don't know. That's you all are the professionals, and I'm not a traffic engineer but I am a representative of folks that drive that highway on a daily basis, and if we could answer that local condition situation, I think it might give us a tool to explain that safety is the primary focus and that there is a fourth layer for some of these special local conditions.
Mr. Commissioner,
through the Chair, Senator Machicki, and to the rest of the committee, I think the point that I would offer is this is the first time that this department has really measured this, and so we have instituted. I guess my encouragement, I hope my encouragement to you is that we have instituted a system and a framework that is going to allow our employees to be able to measure their performance. Measure performance in various portions of the state, and then ultimately begin to improve that performance in a meaningful way, so that we can again provide the safest possible transportation system in the most efficient and effective way we can.
Thank you, Commissioners. Thank you, Senator Machicki, Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, I'm going to jump out on a limb here. I don't think the I want to go back to Senator McKinnon's question on the Glen Highway, the ruts, the 10 cars, yada, yada, performance-based. Good. Now we've got a benchmark. We're going to have a benchmark going forward, right? And that's a good thing. But in spite of the ruts in the road right now, and we're not going to grind and pave anything till May or April, I'd like, if you would, for myself and the Senator, to ask your crew how much tons of sand they put on the road in the last couple of weeks, and if you could find it in your heart to maybe put some more sand down until we get that grind and pave done. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Bishop. Senator Dunleavy.
Through the Chair, just building off on what Senator Machicki was saying. We've got the Portage Road down there with the tunnel, and I'm sure you had some feedback this year on some snow events. It is a localized weather issue there. That I guess we would just ask you to give that some more thought. But I drove the Glen Highway this weekend, and I drove the Seward Highway this weekend. And between Dowling and Diamond, there were cars flipped all over the place there as well. The question I have is on one of your slides where it says one DOT and PF, you said those closest to the front line delivery often have the best ideas. And in a situation like this that we're talking about where there's, I mean, you know this, there's localized weather events that may not have been forecasted, but the man on the road sees that. Your plow guy sees that. Do they have permission? Do they have direction? Do they have the option to exercise individual discretion, for example, where those cars are all being flipped on the Glen or on the new Seward? These guys know the road, and talking to folks at Thompson's Pass and Valdez, these guys know the road like nobody does. Do they have the authority to dump sand, or are there predetermined dumps and amounts? Could they possibly be dumping sand, for example, on road sections that don't really need it, but they're getting calls from other crew members or they see themselves that there is a stretch of road that may not have been in the plan per se? Do they have the authority to be able to exercise judgment to drop sand there?
So the Chair, Senator Dunleavy, I believe that's exactly what this system is allowing us to do, is to give our operators the opportunity and the discretion to make those kind of decisions. They're also making those decisions at the, you know, in a group level. You know, in other words, they come back, they see the results of their performance, and then they begin to talk about, is there a better way to do this? And a great example of this is what happened up in Fairbanks earlier this winter. They actually had acquired some additional lane mile responsibility. Their initial response and their initial success rate was relatively low, you know, in comparison to other stations, primarily because they, you know, they were still working out an efficient way to address that additional lane mileage. And what they did is they got together and they created a more efficient way to deploy their forces and to address those roads, so that they are now having seen much more success in meeting their targets for their particular district. That's exactly the, again, the power of using these measures, because it's giving those folks on the front line the ability to address where they may be falling down and where they are having successes, and then share those and again, create a more efficient way to address our system.
Senator Dunleavy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Dunleavy. Senator Von Imhoff.
So I think, I don't know if your department has this data, but I think what might be helpful is, you mentioned earlier, you've identified safety corridors, and I think it's the Glen Highway with the Seward, KGB Road, Sterling, and so forth. We're talking about, you've provided us like an overall snapshot a little bit at one point in time. What about looking at measurements make sense over time? So fiscal year 13, 14, 15, 16, something along that line, you look at the different corridors, you actually name them, and you say, okay, this year we had this amount of snowfall, and this is how many snowplow hours that we spent, and this is the amount of cubic yards that we dumped in sand, and this is, and I don't even know if you want to put in traffic accidents as almost a measurement, but showing over time how your department has responded each year as a comparison, including the sand, including the how many hours it took and so forth, and then comparing the snowfall, because I know the last couple years it's been pretty minimal since we've had the Snowmageddon, I think, in 2012. We're sort of seeing another one here in South Central. But so sometimes that's really helpful to see things over time. Thank you.
Senator Chair, Senator.
First of all, I'd like to recognize Senator Costello. She's been with us for a while. She's listening to your presentation, Mr. Commissioner. Mr. Commissioner, please proceed.
Thank you. Senator, through the Chair, Senator Von Imhoff, I think you're exactly right. And as I mentioned before, you know, this is one of the first years that we've actually collected this data. So it will take a little time to do some comparisons. But and you also make a very good point. You know, it's been about 4 years since we've had a snow season,
like the one we're seeing this year. And I would also remind the committee and those listening that we forecasted the fact that there was going to be some differences in our ability to respond to a snow event like the one we're seeing this year, based on the fact that we have experienced a 24% cut in our operating budget over the last 2 years. And again, I would just emphasize that I don't know of any organization that can absorb that kind of cut and not have a difference in the way that they operate.
Senator Von Imhoff. I'd like to recognize former Representative Bill Thomas, the famous representative from Haines, Alaska. He's been with us this whole time. Please continue, Mr. Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Let me, before I turn it over to Amanda Holland, I just would again say that I believe that there's a change in expectation to the way that we deliver this service. Yet, I believe that, as has already been recognized by many of the committee members, our department operators are really doing a great job responding to the snow so far this year. It has been a challenge, but we have great people who really do care about the safety of Alaska's traveling public, because their families are also traveling these roads.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner.
For the record, my name is Amanda Holland. I'm the Administrative Services Director for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. In addition to measuring performance through results-based alignment, the department has also been analyzing ways to streamline business processes. Kaizen is the practice of continuous improvement. It evolved from total quality management and is related to Lean and Six Sigma processes. Recognized worldwide as an effective way to eliminate waste and rework, Kaizen is a lean tool that improves quality, productivity, safety, and workplace efficiency. The state of Alaska has started using Kaizen and lean practices to improve functions and eliminate work processes that are overly difficult. For example, this slide shows the results of a recent Kaizen event for the project control process at the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. You can see our current process had 110 steps. After our 4-day Kaizen event, we were able to collapse that process to 26 steps, which is a 76% reduction in the difficulty of the work in terms of steps. We also reduced loopbacks, which means we go back and rework something, from 22 to 4. And we combined 5 separate processes into one process. This was the first Kaizen event for the state of Alaska. There are additional Kaizen events happening in other departments. And we would like to recognize that we believe the success of this Kaizen event was directly related to the fact that most of the people at the event were the subject matter experts in the project control process. And so they were able to bring their expertise to the table and provide ways to reduce rework and waste. The department is committed to continuous improvement and realizing increased effectiveness. One DOTNPF, results-based alignment, and Kaizen events help the department optimize resources, which include personnel, equipment, assets, and the budget. The charts in this slide provide a breakdown of the department's results delivery units by all fund sources, and then by unrestricted general funds for the fiscal year 2018 governor's proposed budget. Unrestricted general funds is the table on the right. The total proposed operating
Senator
budget.
McKinnon.
Mr. Chairman, if I could wait for her to complete the conversation on the slide, then I'll go.
Are you still on the slide, Ms. Holland?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
The total proposed operating budget for 2018 is $581,260.5 million. The total unrestricted general fund portion of the operating budget is $145,691,400.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, I appreciate a new way of doing business and a new way of looking at things, and I, for those members of DOT that have been here for multiple years, there has been a performance measure concept in previous years, and this seems to be streamlined and something that you've taken the time to involve those that are on the front lines of the issue in. So I appreciate that and applaud that going forward, and I think what you heard on the other slide, at least what I hope that you heard from me, is that there is more than just clearing the road and the safety. And so when I look at this slide, you know, there's more than I'm going to talk about today, and I want the folks that benefit from the Marine Highway investment to understand that I know that it is a key portion of transportation for Southeast Alaska, off into Western Alaska on the Aleutian Chain. So recognizing that, recognizing I lived in on Dutch Harbor for a period of time, benefited from the ferry system, and understand the value. When I look at the UGF here for highways and aviation versus marine highway, and I don't see on this slide, though it may follow, the subsidy that's being provided for each of the passengers on that system and the freight that is being moved on the system, and looking at this presentation being focused on a nickel, on a dollar, on where one might suggest that the Department of Transportation find cuts versus flat overall cuts. Talk to me about Marine Highway and a subsidy that's almost at 60% benefiting a small group of people, 12-15% of the population. Talk to me about why in the governor's proposed budget for the capital budget specifically, we are redeploying multiple reappropriations to stand up a system that is being subsidized so heavily by state UGF in this particular time.
Mr. Commissioner.
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, I'm not really sure I fully understand the question other than the Marine Highway System contribution from the unrestricted general fund is represents a cut to that that system, yet also represents the amount of funding needed to sail the schedule that was published, and so that is one of the things that we have tried to do with the customers, the stakeholders, even the investors, in other words, the representatives from that part of the state that depend on the Marine Highway System, that we would we are committed to providing the schedule that that we have published. And I think this is the challenge that we have with the Marine Highway System, is that we have to publish a schedule before we actually have a budget.
Senator McKinnon.
Commissioner, depends is a definition, right? If you depend on something, this dependency is being subsidized at 60 cents on the dollar. It's creating an unfair business practice in the community. So you have control on publishing the schedules. And of course, the local communities want the schedules to remain the same or be increased. We don't have, speaking from a financial position, we don't have the funds to subsidize something at 60 cents on the dollar. A limited group of people are benefiting, and a limited group of people depend on the system. There are other transportation opportunities for most of the routes that we're hitting. We have additional air. We have private sector that are carrying freight into these communities. There are road opportunities for these communities, and they are choosing actively not to have roads go through that would reduce the state's contribution for this system. I don't want to cut the system for people that are using it, but we cannot support 60 cents on the dollar. And when I look at the investment in highways, $51 million is moving about 90% of the population, and we have $85 million moving about 10% of the population in broad brushes. That's not fair to the systems. And we created work rules specifically in the Marine Highway that now, because of safety concerns, we need two full crews to dock some of these ships. If we need two full crews, maybe we shouldn't be running the ship at that time. We have hard choices to make. I'm not trying to pick on the communities that benefit from the system, but we've had a study. The study showed that the fares are not even close to a third. The state is picking up the rest, and I'm frustrated, Commissioner, that that there isn't another performance measure beside that it's the schedule for these communities along the system. We have to reduce the subsidy, and we have to prepare for a strike. Your schedule, you published the schedule. You knew that we were talking about, and I don't mean you, the administration is aware that the fare box is being subsidized by 60 cents on the dollar. And we've asked you to increase that. That was in legislative intent. There has been a small incremental increase. But it's not fair to the rest of the state that are contributing in other ways. And it's not fair to discount the necessity of some of the trips. But the frequency of the trips could be used to help in this time of need reduce that. And we could reduce the overall capital expenditure by, I don't know what it's called. I know Matt Sue did it to one of the ships up there, dry docking or something, some of the ferries. We can't afford the system.
Mr. Commissioner.
Through the Chair, Senator McKinnon, I would offer that we have laid up, I think that's maybe the more appropriate term, we've laid up two vessels. One of them is actually up for sale. We are going to go out for a public sale for that, the motor vessel Taku, here in the next week or so. The Chinigi is also permanently laid up, and we've also laid off the crews that were part of those, that ran those two vessels. We've also reduced the operating weeks of service from the high 170s, or I think it was roughly 178, to I believe this year it's 133. Operating weeks of service. So I think that demonstrates a realization of the expense of this system and our commitment to reduce the cost of operating that system. The other thing I would offer, Senator McKinnon, is to go back to the chart in front of you and focus on the fact that for the total operating funds, highways and aviation actually receive or are intended to receive a larger portion of our total operating budget, and that that includes not just the UGF but also the designated general fund through the Alaska Transportation Maintenance Fund, which Amanda will talk about here in just a minute.
Per capita, Senator McKinnon, then Senator Von Imhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner, I appreciate the efforts. I'm suggesting that they're small in relationship to the budget deficit that we're facing. Those numbers for highway on the left side of your page used to be equal. So marine highways have taken a shift in costs, and there is less subsidy going into the system than there have been. So I applaud you. But it used to be $165 million, as short as 5 years ago, $165 million of all funds in highway and about 165 for marine highway. So we're heading in the right direction, and I appreciate that. But could you, setting that aside, you suggested that DOT has taken a 24% cut. And the issue that I'm raising on marine highway is that not all things are equal. Roads are traveled on by more folks, and they need to be just as safe as the marine highway needs to be safe. And it's costing us a lot of money to move a small amount of people and keep them safe on the waters. And they have other options. They could drive or they could fly. So it's a safety concern. But could you tell me, when you're telling us 24% cuts, Is that capital and operating or just operating? And if so, then was it laid, as someone else has asked, evenly across all of the different components of DOT, or is there target areas that are requiring precision cutting?
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, it was a 24% cut in our operating budget, so just operating, and the largest portion of that operating budget cut was applied, I believe, to the Marine Highway System, as reflected, as you see, in the differences between Highways and Aviation and Marine Highway System budgets. And I think you know, that's probably the best answer I could give. I could turn it over to Amanda, and she may have some additional details.
Ms. Holland and Senator Von Himhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, I do have a slide that I'll show in just a few minutes that shows the unrestricted general fund reductions that the department has experienced in the last 5 years. And it will show some of the differences between Highways and Aviation's cuts and the Marine Highway cuts. I can move to that now if you would like.
We'll stay on this slide and then we'll get to that if that's acceptable.
Last question, Mr. Well, I hope it's the last question. Mr. Chairman, could you tell the committee how much freight is moved on the ferry system versus people? And the reason I'm asking that question is because the follow-up will be, who is your number one vendor that is moving freight on the ferry system? And the point of that is we are subsidizing that freight.
Mr. Commissioner.
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, I don't have that exact number, but I do know that we do move, just as you said, we do move freight, primarily groceries, to these communities that depend on the Marine Highway System. You know, not just for transportation, but also for transportation of many of the goods and services that that other Alaskans enjoy. And we will certainly get you the specific details about exactly how much freight is moved and who our number one shipper is.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, Mr. Chairman. That is important freight. It's still being subsidized, but that's not the freight I'm talking about. When I rode the ferry system home a few years ago, large pieces of heavy equipment were being moved by private contractors. So there are barges available to those private contractors, but apparently it's less expensive to place it on a ferry, or for whatever reason it was being placed on a ferry as I waited for my spot to open up. And what I'm suggesting is that there are commercial companies and contractors that are using the ferry system because it's cheaper to move freight. While groceries is very important to each of the communities, I'm talking about the state subsidizing companies that are making money moving freight. And that would include the groceries. But
thank you, Senator McKinnon. Do you have a comment, Mr. Commissioner?
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, we'll get you that. That data and the committee.
Thank you. In light of the budget cuts that have occurred just in the last few years, taking a 24% reduction, have you looked at certain routes, shorter, more direct routes like Homer to Kodiak, Homer to Saldovia, and to see whether it might make sense to privatize those, or similar to what's happening between Skagway and Haines? So have you looked at that, and if so, do you have plans to?
Through the chair, Senator Von Imhoff, I can tell you right now the Southeast Conference is leading a study looking at the entire marine highway transportation system and looking at alternative governance models, as well as the operating schedule and the operating budget to see if there are other ways to deliver that service around the state. As well as another way for that system to be operated and managed.
Senator Von Imhoff.
No, thank you. Thank you.
Please proceed, Mr. Commissioner. Ms. Holland.
The total fiscal year 2018 governor's proposed operating budget is funded through four fund categories: Some of the categories have multiple fund sources, and this slide shows the breakdown of each fund category by fund source. The two pie charts in the upper right corner compare the fiscal year 2017 management plan breakdown to the fiscal year 2018 proposed breakdown. The largest change in the distribution of fund categories is unrestricted general fund and designated general fund. This is related to the governor's motor fuel tax bill and the Alaska Transportation Maintenance Fund. This fund would provide a direct link between fee for service. The bubble chart portion of this slide shows the fund sources that make up each fund category. The size of the bubble demonstrates the proportionate amount of the fund category. For example, CIP receipts or capital improvement program receipts, International Airport Revenue Fund, and Highway Equipment Working Capital Funds comprise the majority of the other fund category, while the Marine Highway System Fund and the Alaska Transportation Maintenance Fund make up most of the designated general funds category. Should be noted that many of the other fund sources do have restrictions tied to them in terms of how those funds can be used in the department.
Senator McKinnon.
Thank you. Ms. Holland, could you talk to us about the Alaska Transportation Maintenance Fund and then give us the category by highways, airports, and marine? We've got a lot of dots up there, and it seems like we're making some balls smaller than they actually are.
Ms. Holland.
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, I want to make sure I understand your question. You'd like to know the breakdown of the Alaska Transportation Maintenance Fund? Okay. Let me get that detail. So this, the designated general fund is the proposal for motor fuel tax, aviation fuel tax, and marine fuel tax for composing the Alaska Transportation Maintenance Fund. And for the Department of Transportation, the motor fuel tax would result in $62.4 million to fund primarily the highways and aviation and facilities component. And then there would be an additional $4 million of aviation fuel tax that would fund the aviation portion of airport operations.
Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you break down how much Marine Highway is contributing to the Alaska Transportation Fund and whether it will be a highway fund or whether it will be a highway and marine highway fund?
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, the portion of the motor fuel tax that would go to Alaska Transportation Maintenance Fund would be 50%. It is funded 50% by the marine fuel tax, and $2.5 million of the total Alaska Transportation Maintenance Fund would go to the Alaska Marine Highway System. The rest would go to the highways and aviation.
They would basically supplant general funds?
Yes, Mr. Chair, that's correct.
And there was no consideration to address the problems that we had heard earlier regarding using a portion of those dollars to be contracted or subcontracted out to local municipalities to address at least snow removal? That was never considered, Mr. Commissioner?
Mr. Chair, the idea here was that we are trying to create a direct link between what's paid at the pump and where those dollars are spent for road preservation and operation. And so,
does it include snow removal?
It does include snow removal, and that would supplant a portion of the unrestricted general funds that originally funded that. In our budget with these designated general funds. And at the time that the the fund was created and the distribution was created, there wasn't a consideration of, I guess, what you would call revenue sharing with the various municipalities for their road maintenance piece.
I don't know if you'd call it revenue sharing. You would call it providing the services at the local level. They would be reimbursed for services rendered, so I don't think it would be viewed as revenue sharing. But we're drifting into the legislation that Senator McKinnon will be chairing when that bill is considered, but it does have a direct correlation to the operating budget. Senator McKinnon?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for clarity, Ms. Holland, are you the numbers that you just put out there for the people to consider, is that with passage of the bill? So I'm trying to stay on the budget, but I want to understand the numbers. The $62 million, is that with the governor's budget passed, or is it what we're collecting now that we're providing transparency for the people of Alaska?
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, that is with the passage of the bill. Currently, we've collected approximately $40 million, this is the projection for 2017, with the current fuel tax.
Senator McKinnon. Senator Von Imhoff, did you have additional comments? Senator Dunleavy.
Through the chair, just a quick question on that proposed fuel tax. The Marine Highway, would it be exempt from that tax? This is it's a governmental agency or quasi-governmental agency?
Through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, right now the Marine Highway system does not pay the motor fuel tax, and so it would continue to be exempt.
Okay. Thank you.
Senator Dunleavy. Senator Machicki.
So I was going the same direction as Senator McKinnon on the top right charts. The shift from and reduction of UGF proportion and the increase in the DGF proportion is, in fact, illustrating the passage of the fuel tax bill that's being considered. Isn't that correct?
The chair, Senator Machicki, that is correct.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. Mr. Commissioner, Ms. Holland, please continue.
This slide depicts a five-year look back at unrestricted general fund in the operating budget. It also shows the fiscal year 2018 governor's proposed unrestricted general fund budget. As you can see, the amount of unrestricted general fund in the department's operating budget has steadily declined in all of the results delivery units. Fiscal year 2018 reflects the fund source change from unrestricted general fund to the Alaska Transportation Maintenance General Fund. The blue section in the chart, which is at the bottom, represents administration and support, which is often associated with overhead and support or process costs. The administration and support results delivery unit results represents 5% of the total unrestricted general fund portion of the budget. 95% of the unrestricted general fund in the operating budget provides core services to Alaskans. And as a follow-up to Senator McKinnon's earlier inquiry, you can see here the green is the Alaska Marine Highway System cuts. They have gone down from approximately $118 million in 15, I believe, down to the 85 that they're at now. And the Highways and Aviation Function does reflect the fund source swap from unrestricted general fund to designated general fund in the fiscal year 18 bar, which is, and the Highways and Aviation is the purple section of this chart.
And I believe that is the exact point that Senator McKinnon was pointing out, that the Highway and Aviation Facilities portion has dropped disproportionately to the amount being spent on the Marine Highway System. Senator Machicki.
Thank you. So this kind of illustrates the cuts we've done since 2015 over the last 2 years to the Alaska Marine Highway System. I mean, we carefully evaluated, made some pretty significant reductions. Through the work of this committee, we also encouraged Southeast Conference to evaluate what kinds of services could be privatized. I think there's some there are some significant movements that could be made there. We also have a problem with the inability. So when you think about the DGF shift and how much of a federal match that the highways can bring on, I mean, that's what makes them pretty even, as opposed to, this doesn't illustrate that, but the Alaska Marine Highway System really doesn't have the advantages of a federal match. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Senator Machicki, the Marine Highway System is considered part of the highway system from a federal government perspective. So therefore, if there is a capital project related to the Marine Highway System, then it would benefit from the same federal match that that our highway and aviation systems benefit from.
If I can continue.
Senator Machicki.
So I just wanted to go a little further on that. I think it's fair to say that there have been some significant reductions. However, certainly my plan, when I had the budget, and I'm not sure where Senator Bishop is going, was that we would continue to see that slope. And what we see in FY18 is that we're not working to reduce the cost of the Marine Highway System. And I can tell you that I have communities in my district that do count on the Marine Highway System. But when we see the reductions, and there are impacts to reductions, you had a 24% overall. You've managed it quite well. I mean, folks need to realize that if we want to continue to reduce these key departments, particularly when we think about public safety, there is an impact. But I think what you're hearing from the committee is we want to see a slope and a downward trend on the spending on the Alaska Marine Highway System. It's only fair. We're reducing the cost of every other service that we're bringing to the state. And in order to maintain the safety standards that we need to see on our highways, which again serve really 100% of Alaskans, not 90%, because there are state highways in the communities that also have Marine Highway service, we'd like to see a continued downward trend in that funding, and we'd like to see more of a shift to the highways that nearly every Alaskan counts on every day, whether or not they have Alaska Marine Highway service. So I really encourage the department, and I understand that you work for an administration, and the administration gives you some direction on what's going to happen with Marine Highway service, right? You're a commissioner in an administration that kind of has an operating agenda, but we would like to see that downward trend continue, and we're starting to see it, unfortunately, stabilize. So I more effort needs to go into key routes and privatization where it can occur, and the rest of us have a lower expectation for service as we've reduced our spend, and I think that lower expectation of service has to be shared by coastal communities as well. This chart shows a flattening of that spend, and I'd like to see the downward trend continue. I'm
more of a statement than a question. Do you have any comment, Commissioner?
No, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Machicki. We have Senator Bishop and Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Looks like we're on the topic here, so I'm a history nut. I just go back to Governor Egan's 1964 transportation plan, and the goal was to connect these communities by roads so we could use more day boats, and then hence the Juneau Access, and I'm a big proponent of the Juneau Access because I think it's going to put more traveling public on mainline ferries going south out of here, so we've got loaded ferries. And anyway, I just like, you know, for us as a state and the department to go back and relook at that transportation study of connecting these routes in southeast with these with this transportation study. To we got to look at all options to lower operating costs on marine highways, and I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. Senator McKinnon.
Thank you, Commissioner. You talked about the marine highway being part of federal highways overall projects. And you also indicated that we have two, one ship up for sale, or one ferry up for sale, and the other out of service right now. But we're building two new ferries that are getting ready to come on that will need crews. In the budget that we have before us, can you give us any indication compared to highways how much is being leveraged for the marine highway in standing back up more service?
Mr. Commissioner.
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, I believe that the intent of those two day boats that we're building, which are being built with state funds, will actually supplant the service in the Lynn Canal. That's what they were intended to be built for, and so they will ultimately replace the ships that are actually working in the Lynn Canal at this point. There will still be some mainline traffic that goes up into the Lynn Canal, but the intent there is to provide focused service in the Lynn Canal, and then that will allow the ships that are currently working in that portion of the system to be redeployed other places. I could tell you that we are also taking a really hard look at the entire fleet to determine if we really need all of those ships once the two Alaska class ferries come online.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator McKinnon. Mr. Commissioner, Ms. Holland, please continue.
This slide provides some change record information for the fiscal year 2018 proposed operating budget. It does show some increase. This increase is in authority for the International Airport System, which has an enterprise fund. It does not use unrestricted general fund. We also have, I'll just highlight a couple of things. We have, we show reductions in marine highway system, savings from shared services, and we are deleting unrealizable receipt authority. We have position count reductions, 76 federal program positions, and 12 vacant positions that we are proposing to delete in 2018. And we also show transfers, one position from the Alaska court system for facilities maintenance, and then 35 positions transferred to the Department of Administration for Shared Services of Alaska. We also reflect fund source swaps. The majority of that fund source swap is the motor fuel tax and the aviation fuel tax funds, and this is where we are looking at the Alaska Transportation Maintenance Fund as a fund source swap for unrestricted general fund. The next slide provides a summary.
One moment, please. Senator McKinnon.
Thank you. Ms. Holland, under one-time items and the reversal of the one-time appropriation for $2 million for the Alaska Marine Highway, I believe you said that was savings from shared services. So would we did I get that wrong? Please, if you just clarify for the record.
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, the one-time item was a one-time appropriation to the Alaska Marine Highway System for $2 million. This shows that is now reduced, so the budget is $2 million less for the Marine Highway System in 2018. And then down in the agency transfers, the positions transferring to the Department of Administration, there is a 10% savings for all of those positions. So instead of them being 100% funded, they're 90% funded through the shared services initiative. And so that's the reduction under savings from shared services of Alaska implementation.
Senator McKinnon?
So we're expecting under reductions on slide 18, 10% is $271,700. Of savings? You don't anticipate more?
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, that is correct. The initial savings is a 10% savings. The goal of shared services is that as these back office functions are absorbed into the shared services office, we will see additional savings, and the prediction is that we may get as much as 30% savings.
Thank you. I believe under Senator Dunleavy's Administrative service review, we saw 30% in 19 and 50% overall out into our future. So is that something similar to what we expect to see here?
Through the chair, Senator McKinnon, yes, we do anticipate, we start with 10% in 18. We are anticipating 30% in 19.
Thank you, Senator McKinnon. Senator Olson.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we talk about some of the fund sources and some of the funding that's out there and looking for new places to go ahead and fund, one of the things that's come to my attention is that back when Mort Plum was the airport director there in Anchorage, there was a statute put through that exempted international carriers from having to pay the fuel tax that's out there. And then the discussion has gone with the air carriers in particular that to reverse that statute. Has the administration discussed anything like that that would bring in $15 million versus $9 million worth of motor fuel taxes as proposed?
Mr. Commissioner?
The Chair, Senator Olson, no, we have not, and it's primarily because the fuel is sold in a foreign trade zone, mm-hmm. and so we are trying to honor that with those carriers. The other important piece to note is that fuel is not necessarily bought in Alaska. It's bought somewhere outside of the state by the carriers and brought in to be used by that consortium of carriers that buys that fuel for international flights. So those are a couple of reasons why we're not looking at reversing that exemption for flights that are either originate or fly to an international destination.
Last question, Mr. Chairman. If a proposal like this was put on the table in the form of a statute, would the administration support it?
Commissioner.
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I think we'd have to look at that to see what the economic impact of something like that would be, especially on our international airport system, and then the resulting impact to those communities that are served by the.
No further questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Please proceed, Ms. Sullivan.
On slide 19, we show a summary of the proposed reductions for the 2018 governor's budget, split out by results delivery unit. And you can see that we do show position reduction in each of our results delivery units. In the interest of time, rather than going through each piece, I would like to point out two items. At the bottom left is Shared Services of Alaska. That is where we are transferring 35 positions to the Department of Administration. 34 of those are back office functions, focusing on travel and expense and accounts payable. One of those positions is our Chief Information Officer, and that is part of the Office of Information Technology Initiative. The other is the Marine Highway System and their results delivery unit. The Commissioner mentioned it earlier. We do have both the Taku and the Chenega in layup status. They are decrewed, and we have eliminated 177 positions, which were the crews for those two vessels.
And what's the future of those two vessels?
The Taku will be put up for a public sale in the next few days. We first do a notice to see if there are any governmental agencies that might want to purchase the vessel before we open it up for a public sale. The Chenega status is still being evaluated at this time.
Please proceed.
Just to wrap up, I want to talk about our capital program optimization. There has been quite a bit of discussion that's ensued since the governor's proposed budget on December 15th. We intend to empirically demonstrate to you, our investors, to our myriad stakeholders, and to our customers, the public, that we are well stewarding all funding entrusted to us. And here are some key commitments that we make to you, our investors, to our stakeholders, and to our employees. Our collective bargaining agreements will be honored. The department has incredibly talented and hardworking Alaskans on our staff, and our goal is to ensure a healthy DOT-NPF for the long run. We want to keep our excellent track record of never turning back a federal dollar year over year, while fully leveraging the approximate 9-to-1 return for those federal funds. $1 state match for $9 of federal formula funds. But we must also remain agile and be prepared for possible federal funding infusion, as happened back in 2009 with the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. The department will continue commissioner-level management of all our positions. The department is in the process of getting a qualified contractor on board to conduct an independent third-party feasibility study. We are also piloting some innovative ideas that explore work processes and organizational structure improvements. Our core value of excellence demands the department never be satisfied with good enough. We are an organization advancing a culture of continuous improvement. In conclusion, here are the capital program optimization main effort items for fiscal year 2018 and 2019. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today.
With that, we'll go around the table for final comments to the commissioner or any comments that any members would like to make. Co-Chairman McKinnon.
Mr. Chairman, we're in a tough financial situation. I wonder if we could see some numbers run on budget cuts that may have not been considered before, specific to the Marine Highway, what that might look like with a $5 million reduction, a 10, or something greater to help us make the nickel from the DOT budget. We're trying to pull this budget down. We have community members interested in that conversation, and certainly Southeast needs to be involved in that conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator McKinnon. Vice Chairman Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We kind of blew over page 19. I know it was the end of you're trying to get us out of here, but on these proposed reductions, I don't know if this committee's in complete alignment on the design privatization section. I know specifically I'm not, so we've talked about that and more than one time in this committee, so that'll be a topic for discussion.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. Senator McChickie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Commissioner, again, you've done a great job managing the cuts to your department. I think we're all concerned with the proportional cuts with the various types of service. On page 19, could you give me a total reduction in annual vessel operating weeks from 2015 until today? This page, on page 19, you demonstrate a reduction in annual vessel operating weeks from 335.1 to 333.9. That's less than one-third of 1% of a reduction in this latest budget, while you've suffered a 24% departmental cut. And it just kind of illustrates the proportional problem that we're talking about. If you can get me the rest of the operating week reduction throughout this whole 24% reduction period, I'd like to take a look at that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Senator McChickie, Senator Von Imhoff, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Having made my living with my family, my dad, and whatever else in the transportation system, the airports, the roads, and those kind of things are certainly a challenge to go ahead and keep up, especially with the federal regulations that keep coming down at us and are certainly inhibiting to a certain degree where we want to expand to or what we can do. I just take my hat off to you, and I think you've done a very good job of presenting this morning, and hopefully we can all work together to try and make sure that in the end, the Alaskan that's sitting out there in some village or sitting down in downtown Anchorage has the adequate means of getting to his place safely, whether it's a snowstorm going on or whether it's a sunny day.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Senator Dunleavy.
Through the chair, thank you. Just echoing some of the sentiments, you've got a tough job and you're doing it the best you can, especially under these circumstances. Transportation, public safety, education, those are three of probably three of the top issues, I think, on the minds of most Alaskans. And as a center that has many miles of road, tunnels, ports, railroads, et cetera, we are going to have to work together because, unfortunately, we really don't have the tax revenue to support everything that we want. And so the process of downsizing, the process of reorganizing, like your folks have been doing the last couple of years, is greatly appreciated. It's somewhat painful, but I'm confident we're going to get to a place here in the next year or two where we'll be on a course, I think, of sustainability. And then instead of talking about reducing the size of certain things and certain aspects of government, we can start looking at growing the private economy, and transportation is going to be absolutely crucial for that. So just we all have to just band together here the next couple of years, get through this, and then look for, I think, a pretty bright future for Alaska, and it's going to be based upon the actual work that you folks do. So thank you.
And we have discussed quite extensively marine highways and road transportation, but in rural Alaska, it's all about airports, and I would like to say that the department has done very well in not only operating, maintaining, and providing the services to rural residents, but there's always areas of improvement, and we could probably discuss them at a later date. But the state of Alaska, again, is going through major changes, as is quite evident by your 24% reduction. This committee still feels that there is areas of belt tightening that can be accomplished and continue to provide the services while we are looking at additional revenue measures and other structural changes that may take place. But the point that we've been making at this table is that we're asking for a nickel on a dollar this year for tightening the budget. The governor has said we are in a crisis mode in our state of Alaska, as I said earlier, and it seems to me that if we are in a crisis mode, although we are considering additional revenue measures, it would seem that we would be able to tighten up our belts a nickel on a dollar. Do you have any closing comments, Mr. Commissioner?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you all for your comments. I appreciate, and I know our department employees really appreciate your support for our department, and we will be happy to work with this committee, with our subcommittee, to look at options going forward to achieve what you're trying to achieve.
With that, I would like to thank the committee for participating in all four major drivers. This budget is going to be chaired by Senator Bishop, and we will be looking forward to the recommendations that I'm sure will get a lot of discussion, not only at this table, but throughout the building. With that, we are adjourned.